The Old Testament reading for the Ascension of our Lord is from 2 Kings chapter 2. The sons of the prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take away your master from over you?" And he answered, "Yes, I know it. Keep quiet." Then Elisha said to him, "Please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 men of the sons of the prophets also went and stood at some distance from them, as they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his cloak and rolled it up and struck the water, and the water was parted to the one side and to the other, till the two of them could go over on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what shall I do for you before I am taken from you?" And Elisha said, "Please let there be a double portion of your spirit on me." And he said, "You have asked a hard thing. Yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if you do not see me, it shall not be so." And as they still went on and talked, behold, chariots of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." And he saw him no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. And he took up the cloak of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the cloak of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water, saying, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" And when he had struck the water was parted to the one side and to the other, and Elisha went over. Now when the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho saw him opposite them, they said, "The spirit of Elijah rest on Elisha." And they came to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Oh,
The second reading is from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. To them he presented himself alive after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 16th chapter. Afterward, Jesus appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at table, and he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover." So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by accompanying signs. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. You may be seated. Earthly kings and rulers have territories with boundaries. Even when it was said the sun never sets on the British Empire, there were still limits. The other day I was watching on YouTube the opening of Parliament. Have you ever seen that in the United Kingdom where the king comes in and he speaks from the throne and there's all this pomp and circumstance that goes along with it? My favorite part is when Black Rod goes to the House of Commons, he knocks on the door, and they slam the door in his face because the king is not allowed to enter into there, going back to the revolution and all these things. But he lays out what he wants his government to accomplish, lays out this before them. But there's limits. His commands have a scope. But you see the thing as we look at our Lord as our King on Ascension Day, is that if even an earthly ruler would conquer all the world, he would still not possess the power, the authority, and the reign of the King of Kings. Jesus reigns, and he sits on his holy throne. And so Ascension Day proclaims to you who your King is. It's Jesus. And he rules you, his people, as only he can do with his holy word and sacraments. His kingdom, unlike earthly ones, is eternal. And it encompasses all nations and all peoples, even as he himself is eternal. And so when Jesus spoke to his disciples after his resurrection, he commands them with the divine and royal command, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. So the words and commands of this king are very powerful. And he himself points out that he is more than all emperors, more than all kings, more than all lords, as the one who in his own person subjects all creatures to himself. He does not command his greetings to be sent merely to all people, nor does he ask or desire anything from all lords on the earth, but in full power he sends his command to all of them, which they are to accept and allow. And from this, it follows that this commander is more and greater than any angel. Angels are certainly mighty, powerful lords, but they are sent out by God to carry out his commands, and yet not to all the world. Moses led his people, for example, through an angel in Exodus 23, but he is the one who himself gives the command that goes into all the world, even among all creatures, as if everything belongs to him. And this is given to no one except this Son, born of the Virgin, the one who is the Lord over all things, all angels, all humans. He is the one who is the God and creator of all creatures. And so at his ascension, Jesus goes to the right hand of the Father as the victorious Son, who has accomplished salvation. He possesses all authority in heaven and on earth. And so what does Jesus say in this command? Does he dictate what is to be here just to serve his bidding? No, he tells his disciples to go into the world to preach the gospel. He commands them to make disciples of all nations by baptizing and teaching in Matthew's gospel. And here the King of Kings rule is for the benefit of his people. He came to save. And now he gives out this redemption through his word and sacraments. And that's the thing then, as you gather on this Ascension Day, you gather as those who have been called and gathered by this very gospel that has been sent out. You've been washed clean in the waters of holy baptism. You hear his word, you feast at his supper. Your Lord is ruling and reigning, and he's here with you as he has promised he would be even to the end of the age. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords is the one who is with you. He's the one who speaks to you, who guides you, who keeps you, who blesses you, who forgives you, who gives you life. And our sinful nature pushes back against this as it tries to assert its own will and way. The temptation is real to have the blessing and rule of Jesus become insignificant, apathetic, or something that we would instead rather want a counterfeit king, either in someone else or in our own hearts. This happens even in ways we might not expect. Consider both the second and the gospel readings tonight. In the second reading from Acts, St. Luke recorded, "So when they had come together, they asked him, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?' The disciples were still thinking in terms of things of this world. They were right, their king was before them, but now they're thinking, now Jesus is risen from the dead, things are going to change. We are going to finally have the might, the political strength to make this world the dominion of the Lord. It's going to be restored back to Israel." Were they well-intentioned when they said this? Perhaps. But they were wrong. They were failing to see Jesus for the king, who he is and how he rules and reigns, and what this means for them to carry out this gospel. Likewise, St. Mark also recorded in the gospel reading, afterward, Jesus appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at table, and he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. So Jesus rebuked the disciples, and he commands them and sends them to do the work he gives them to do. They doubted the word, but he sends them out to preach that very word, to preach and to deliver what he, the Lord, has accomplished according to his institution. And so your Lord then directs you to heed his word today and to take to heart what he is saying about you, who you are, and what this means. God rules and he reigns. His word is preached, his sacraments are administered, and we hear as the Lord was overshadowed by a cloud, it's not that he vanishes, rather it overshadows him, it overtakes him. The king is not visible, to be sure, but the king is still here, just as he promised, and as he is sitting on his glorious throne, coronated to rule and to reign. We sang that beautifully in the hymn just a minute ago. Yet it is also Mark that said, So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. So the Lord, the King, is out of sight, but still near, and is at the right hand of the Father. Because your King is God and man, present in both his divinity and his humanity, united and as one person. And he tells you where he is to be found, here and now, as you go through this world, as you live as his people, to flee to where he has promised you forgiveness, healing, refuge, strength, and life. And Jesus is also at the right hand of the Father interceding for you. This means that he's there as your own flesh and blood, sharing your brother in the flesh and blood, only sinless. And now glorified, he's at the right hand of God interceding for you. Jesus is your brother. And in some ways, then, the wonder and glory of Ascension Day is the wonder and glory of the Incarnation. There's comfort in knowing your Lord, the Son of God, is at the right hand of the Father, and he is for you. Your King is your brother, only without sin. And so the same human flesh and blood, which was in the womb of the Virgin Mary, lived a perfect, obedient life, died on the cross in your place, is risen from the grave, is the same Lord who is at the right hand of the Father, praying for you and ruling his church. And so all of this comes to a head in your life. You hear this word of God. He fills all things and is here now. He has led the captives of sin, death, and the devil and accomplished your salvation. And now he has called you his own in the baptismal waters, those very baptismal waters that he called his disciples to administer and to preach. And he's gathered you together in his church, and he rules and governs you with his mercy, forgiving you and giving you eternal life. And yes, he even gives you his own true body and true blood given and shed for you. The same Lord and King who ascended and went out of sight is the same Lord who throws a feast for you now and welcomes you to his banquet. Jesus lifted up his pierced hands and blessed his disciples, and he does the same for you. And so we, his people, rejoice this day of ascension because you are his. He is yours. And he promises you this day that he is coming again. The angels preached this to the apostles as they looked dumbfounded. And they saw, and they heard, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was coming up from you into heaven and will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. So Jesus is coming again. Your King is coming again. The day will come when you will see him face to face, no longer in veiled means, no longer out of sight. That day is promised to you on this day as well. Ascension Day is also a day of preaching of your glorious King who comes again. And so you belong to the King. You bear the name of the King. You are an heir of his kingdom. Christ's promises are for you. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. That's you. You are that person. On Christ's ascension, build the hope of your ascension. Know that your Lord is coming back. And see that the day was coming, that eternal day, when you will be forever with him and all of his saints. And so thanks be to God for the Lord who is our King, the Lord who reigns over the nations, the Lord who sits on his holy throne, the Lord who is here now to forgive and to save, the Lord who is yours and you are his forever. Amen. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.